Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I am not a singer in the morning, so I will not try to sing for you today. All I will say is, God is good, and he's good all the time. Loving the Lord this morning and thankful for you. As always, thankful, grateful, and blessed for another day and for a do-over. Thanking God for the do-over. Hallelujah. So let's get started in our word this morning. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you in whatever capacity you have given us to serve. Lord God, I pray for pastors this morning. I pray for those that are in the pulpit having to get a word from you, Lord. May they get the word from you and not from flesh, but from you, God. Lord God, we ask you to lead us, guide us, help us to be better in everything that we do. But we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you honor, glory, and praise, Lord. And Father God, I ask you to please increase as your daughter decreases. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. I pray this prayer knowing that you are my strength and you are my redeemer, Father God. Before I go any further, I ask you to please forgive me for all my sins. Please forgive me for any thoughts that I may have had, for any words I may have spoken that were not like you, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, to remove all flesh and increase your spirit within me. In the name of Jesus, Father God, I give this word to you. I give my life to you. I give my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength to you, for I love you, Lord, more than anything. And I pray, Lord, that you give me the insight to speak what you say speak and to say what you say to say. So speaking and saying all that you want, not me. Increase, oh Lord, as I decrease. In Jesus' name, Lord, again, I ask your blessings over pastors today, over those that are head of flocks, oh God, for you have given them a humongous responsibility. I ask you to give them strength, oh God. Give them strength in the midst of all that they go through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Woo, giving honor to God. Pastors were on my heart this morning. And just praying for my own. Gone through, and you know, her husband passed on this year. She has had relative after relative pass, and she's had to utilize them. So it's been difficult. So I ask you to keep my pastor, Jesse Herring, in your prayers as she moves forward, in word as she moves forward, in all that she is called to do. So keep her in your prayers. Excuse me, keep her in your heart and keep her in your mind. And keep the families of our babies that have died, our elderly men and women who have died that died in Buffalo. We have had more school shootings than just acts of violence against someone that didn't look like the person that committed the violence. Pray that evil rot of racism and bigotry out of our nation. Because that's what it is. It's a rot. It's like a rotten apple in the midst of a bushel of good apples. And we need to pray it out because we all are God's children. We all are God's children. We gotta love the Lord. Put all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. And I say this, watch Him direct our path. That was based on Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. God, trust God. And the word that I got this morning is one of our scriptures today. And we're going to be talking about Solomon. And he fell. But the word that he who has a deceitful heart finds no good. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good. Proverbs 17 and 20. And we all know also in our word today, Judas had a deceitful heart. And he did not find good. He found death. But he was jealous. He was a thief. So we got to deal with Solomon and his women with their gods, little views, and his fall. The most wise man in the world, then, now, and forevermore, fell deep. Fell because he didn't follow God like his father did. He fell because these women sent him down the wrong path. So we have to be careful who we choose or who chooses us, women. The man finds the good thing. But when you chase and you try to snare this man, you will not find happiness. But if you wait on the Lord, God will send the Boaz like he did to Ruth. God will send the one for you. And if it's not meant for you, then he's not coming. That just means that you are special to God and you are meant for him alone. So keep trusting God today. Keep believing in God today. And know who you belong to. So let's get in our word this morning. And as always, it is a great word. And we are coming out of 1 Kings chapter 11 and chapter 12. And we're going to talk about a king who stumbled and he fell. And this is what it says. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Don't forget Phineas, y'all, and the plague that he caused. Not Phineas didn't cause blood. Phineas ended the plague with the spear through the heart of the Moabite woman. And as we go forth, it says, surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clung to these in love, and he had 700 wives. Can y'all say that with me? 700 wives. There are men that cannot deal with one wife. So can you imagine 700 women, all with different ideas, different gods, different everything, pulling you this way, that way, and every which way. So if he had 700 wives, can you imagine the number of descendants out there of Solomon? There's probably more than you realize. And as we go forth to Solomon, clung to these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses and 300 concubines. Woo, Lord, 1,000 women. 700 is bad, but 1,000 women. Again, if that man can't deal with one. And then it goes on to tell us, and you take that one and multiply it by 1,000. Wow. 1,000 women. And his wives turned away his heart. But it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. But Solomon went after Asherah, the goddess of the city of Eve, and after Malcolm, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and to Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. One gave him wisdom, and one gave him instructions. But we know on yesterday that God gave Solomon instructions. God gave him instructions. And he told him in chapter 9, let's go over there and look. And the Lord said to him, we'll go up, actually, let's go back up to verse number 1 of chapter 9. He says, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he wanted to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication, and you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now if you walk, now here it is, now if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgment, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne. But then there's a but. But if you are your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other little gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. God has given David an understanding of what will happen if you do, Solomon, an understanding of what will happen if you do the things that he is now doing. Unfortunately, with old age, all these 1,000 women lost his mind. And as you go forth, says the Lord, became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, I've done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you. I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servants. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days for the sake of your father David. I will tear it out of the hand of your sons. However, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your sons for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Now the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad, the Edomite, who had a descendant of the king of Edom. For it happened, when David was in Edom and Joab the commander of his army, a god of the very best night, after he had killed every male of Edom, because for 6 months Joab remained there with all Edom, but he had cut down every male of Edom that hadn't fled to go to Egypt. He had certain Edomites of his father's servants with him. Adam was still a little child. Then they arose from Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them from Paran and came to Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house, a portion of food for him, and gave him land. And Adam found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him a wife, the sister of his own wife, that is the sister of Queen Tophonus. Then the sister of Tophonus bore him Genubath, his son, whom Tophonus weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. So when Adam heard in Egypt that David rested with his father, and that Joab, the commander of the army, was dead, Hadden said to Pharaoh, "Let me depart, that I may go to my own country." But Pharaoh said to him, "But what have you lacked with me, that suddenly you seek to go to your own country?" So he answered, "Nothing, but do let me go anyway." And God raised up another adversary against him, Radon, the son of Eladah, who had fled from his lord, Hadadezer, king of Zobah. So he gathered men to him and became a captain over a band of raiders. When David killed those of Zobah, and they went to Damascus and dwelt there and reigned in Damascus, he was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon, besides the trouble that Hadad caused. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. Then Solomon's servant Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite from Jehoiada, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. And this is what caused him to rebel against the king. Solomon had built the Milo and replaced the damages to the city of David his father. The man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon said that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph. Now it happened at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite met him on the way. And he had clothed himself with a new garment, and the two were alone in the field. Then Ahijah took hold of the new garment that was on him and tore it into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, "Take for yourself 10 pieces, but thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to you, but you shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the city in me, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Macom, the god of the people of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes and keep my statutes and my judgments, as did his father David." Solomon messed up. We all messed up. But let's keep moving to see, does he clean up? Does he get rid of all those idols and all the stuff that is going on in his kingdom that is against his God, that is against our God, that is against the God of creation? Let's see. "However, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, because I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and give it to you, 10 tribes, and to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself, to put my name there. So I will take you, and you shall reign over all your heart desires, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you see all that I command you, walk in my ways and do what is right, in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David, and will give Israel to you, and I will afflict the descendants of David because of this, but not forever. Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, to Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did in his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over Israel was 40 years. David reigned 40 years as well. Then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. So you got, on one side, Jeroboam. And on the other side, you got Rehoboam. And it says this. Now, Rehoboam, and we know that's Solomon's son, who took his place as king, went to Shechem. For all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt, but he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdens and service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to him, depart for 3 days and come back to me. And the people departed. Now this is a little section that when you put little children, our children, in mind, over stuff, and put no wisdom in the mix, you're going to have chaos. You got to be who you put in leadership, who you make your pastor, who you allow to preach in your pulpit. Because sometimes wisdom is not always present in some young people. And so in this case, wisdom was not present. So let's see what happened in those 3 days. Then King Jeroboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, listen, lighten the yoke which your father put on us. Now understand, if these young men grew up with Rehoboam, then they were privileged. So we got all these privileged young men telling him how to treat those that have less than him, those that are just people who are working for a living. What a poor baby didn't get the wisdom that his daddy had. And he's about to make a critical mistake for Israel. And let's see what it says here. Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. thus you shall say them. My little finger shall be thicker than my father's weight. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chasing you with whips, but I will chasing you with treasures. And, okay, I understand. These things had, like, not had sharp objects on them. That's what Jesus was beat with, the scrounger. And they are like sharp, claw-like things that are added to whips to just claw you up as you get hit with them. They're horrible. And they tear your skin up. So now, had to have something to drink there. And let's keep going. It says, so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam. Now, he's giving, being given a chance to do what's right. But instead, he's being a deceitful young man. Come back to me in the 3 days. Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chasing you with whips, but I was chasing you with treasures. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word which the Lord had spoken to Ahijah the Shilonite, to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David. So Israel departed to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue. But all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam mounted in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Now it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over all Israel. There was none who followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, but this thing is from me. Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and dwelt there. Also he went out from there, and then from Nero. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king asked advice, made 2 calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month like the priest that was in Judah and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did at Bethel. So he did at Bethel, sacrificing to the calf that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priest of the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burnt incense. So two young kings, both of them with no common sense or wisdom, deceitful and wrong in everything they were doing. But it started with Solomon, who didn't do what he was supposed to do. And if you go back into some life lessons from 1 Kings 11 and 12, it says this in 11 and 1, King Solomon loved many small women. Everything that the Lord had forbidden kings to do in Deuteronomy 17, 16, and 17, Solomon did. He accumulated Egyptian horses, silver and gold, and foreign wives, and so lost the blessing of God. And we're going to go over very quickly back to Deuteronomy. Sometimes you got to go back to move forward. And we're going back a little bit. So let's come join me over here in Deuteronomy. And we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Again, this is Bible study. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 17. Try this again. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Book number 5 in the Old Testament. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 17, and we're going to go to verse 16. And when you look at the titles, you know, our Bibles give you a little title in the beginning. It says, Principles Governing Kings. And when we go down to verse 17, let's actually just start at 14. It says, when you come to the land which the Lord your God has given you, and possess it and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. God had told them what was going to happen way back in Deuteronomy. Before they ever came begging for a king, God, remember they come begging Samuel for a king. God had already predicted and prophesied that they would ask for a king way back in Deuteronomy. And it says, you shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brothers. You shall set a king over you. You may set a foreigner over you who is not your brother. But he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses for himself. You shall not, we go to verse 16. He says, you shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. But what do you do? Get an Egyptian princess for a wife. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. And Solomon did all of those things, horses, silver, gold, and foreign wives. Everything that the Lord forbid for kings in Deuteronomy, Solomon did. And as he continues in 1 Kings 11 and 14, the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon. When the Lord raises up an adversary against us, he does so not only to discipline us, but to bring us back to wholehearted devotion to him. Even in judgment, he shows mercy. And you go over to answer the life questions. Where do we draw the line between healthy and unhealthy compromise? Compromise can be defined as making a concession in order to gain something at times. Compromise can be a good thing if you ever had to compromise on what restaurant to choose, how much to pay for a new car. You don't need an explanation on how compromise works. We engage in healthy compromise when we can give in to another without compromising our core values and beliefs. Every healthy human relationship experiences an element of give and take. Unhealthy compromise, on the other hand, involves abandoning sound and godly ideas and standards, leaving us morally and spiritually bankrupt. The story of Solomon illustrates how unhealthy compromise ends in tragedy. Solomon surpassed every ruler of his time in wisdom and riches. People from all over the world sought out Solomon for his wisdom, yet Solomon deliberately disobeyed God's warning against intermarriage with other religions. And we saw that in Deuteronomy. The result, Solomon's heart turned away from absolute devotion to his God and began to cling to the gods of his wife. No man ever soared so high, but fell so low. We live in a world full of temptations that urges us to compromise our godly values. And we know that is the truth. But when we choose to compromise, we pay a price, even though it may not seem immediately apparent to others or even to ourselves. Satan wants us to believe the lie that no one gets hurt when we compromise our core values. But that lie has caused men their jobs and ministries, children their innocence, and at times it has cost individuals their very lives. God's righteousness is forever. Can I say that again? God's righteousness is forever. He doesn't wink at compromise. Consider Solomon. After his compromise came collapse, God didn't waste any words. He said he would rip the kingdom of Solomon's hands because of his compromise. That's exactly what happened. Unhealthy compromise is costly. It corrupts. It brings collapse. Has God put his finger on something in your life? Perhaps you crossed the line and are no longer flirting with compromise, but have jumped headlong into it. Satan is both cunning and powerful. Don't ever get it twisted. He was an angel first. And he can get you to give up what is important to you. He can send you down a dark road that could cost you dearly. Don't fall for it. Don't give in. Don't compromise what you shouldn't. Trust God and leave all the consequences to him. We got to keep God first in everything that we're doing. Don't compromise your faith. Don't compromise your belief in God. Don't compromise to go after other gods and other religions. You are a child of God, and you cannot compromise with the evil one. And it says this in 1 Kings 11:40, Solomon therefore sought to kill Jeroboam. Apparently Solomon heard of his prophecy against him, and instead of repenting, sought to frustrate it. But there is no wisdom or understanding or consequence against the Lord. Whatever the Lord must do to fulfill his word, he does. That is why God's word is an immovable anchor in times of storm. When you're going through, just say, Lord, I need a word. And I'm going to tell you something. When you do that, it's like your Bible just opens up to where you need to be. And when you read whatever the word is God is giving you, you can't do nothing but bawl. You can't do nothing but cry. Because it is a conviction letter. It is what you need from God. Ooh. 1 Kings 12:28, the king made 2 days ago. Now, again, you done messed up with these 1,000 women, with all these little guys all over the place. And now you go into adultery. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt make no graven images. And what has he done? He has gone after other gods, and now he has made graven images. And centuries before, the Israelites had constructed a golden idol and proclaimed, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Satan seldom changes his tactics. Unfortunately, he doesn't need to. And I say this because I've seen people of God today making golden images of people and worshiping at their feet. Because God is watching everything we do. Psalm 69, verses 5 through 15. Oh God, you know my foolishness and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O Lord God. David is speaking. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up. And the reproach of those who appreciate, those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkard. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me. I got to read that again. I just had to sit and meditate on it for just a minute. David is asking God. He said, verse 10, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. He was deceitful, hard finds no good. David, no, he went through some stuff. Hey, Uriah murdered. Deceitful heart. Was up to no good. But he repented. Are we repenting from our sins? But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink into the mud and the mess. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me. Now let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Whew, David was praying. We got to pray. And as Dr. Stanley says in the life lesson, let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. What we do and how we live has a profound effect on those around us. They're watching us even when we don't know it. So we should pray that God would enable us to represent him well and at all times. Woo! What a word this morning. And our title word is coming out of Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20. Because all through this word this morning, we have seen deceit. We have seen folks not doing good. And it says in our word, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good. Solomon found no good. grow up in, no good. All of these young men fighting and understanding. God said, oh, y'all fighting men. They're your brothers. And Israel had turned around. I mean, Judah had to turn around and go on back home. Because God said, not today, Satan. We got to understand that God is watching over us all the time. All we have to do is be still and know that he is God and that he's got you covered. And as we get in our New Testament, we are in John chapter 12. And we know Judas, again, you as a deceitful heart, that is no good. Judas with his deceitful heart is about to go down that path that he cannot come back from. And let's read our word. It says, in 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha said that Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was the fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given? My eyes are acting up this morning. So pray for your sister this morning. But let's read it one more time. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was the fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He was a deceitful heart, finally did. He was a thief. I'm saying it again for the third time. Judas was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Come on now. Talking about giving to the poor, he was talking about giving to himself. Again, he was a deceitful heart. Fine, no good. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have. Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were away and believed in Jesus. Whew, what a word. Again, it just beat my heart in Jesus, trying to figure out what to do. And then deceitful hearts in the Jews who plotted to kill Jesus and to kill Lazarus. Just plotting and deceitfulness all over the place. And then it goes on to tell us the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's coat. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him. And they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness for the reason that people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip said, "Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus." But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it." Now stop that. "He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life, in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there servant will also be. Anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." What a word this morning. And as we go back to John 12 and 16, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him. Even though it took the disciples a long time to understand the meaning and significance of Scripture, when understanding finally came, it never left them, and it gave them the strength to continue despite great hardship. Are you being deceived today? Are you being deceitful today? Or are you trusting God today? Let us trust God today. And we pray, Father God in heaven, you know our hearts, you know our minds, and you know our spirits. Father God, I pray that this word touched the hearts and minds and spirits this morning. Lord God, I ask you to give a triple portion to those that listen live and listen later, that those that speak more of you will find you. They will find you, and they will love you, for you are God, and you are mighty, in Jesus' name. Before we get out, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. I saw it. I didn't read it, but a big glance. And our sister in Christ's word for us this morning is this. With God, it is never too late for a new beginning. Ooh, have a walk with God Wednesday. Again, with God, it's never too late for a new beginning. Keep God first. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by the evil one. Watch as well as pray. And watch God work in your life. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good. But we are not deceitful of heart. We are loving and kind and members of God's family. Watch God work in our life. We love this life. And our last prayer before we get out, if there's anyone that God has put on your heart to speak, now is the time to push the number 1 on your device, and your line will be open. Again, if you have a word from God, now is the time to push the number 1 on your device. And it says this, dependable is our prayer for this morning. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Proverbs 3:3. Constant one, I am grateful. And we know, Heavenly Father, I am grateful for your steady presence in my life. Whenever I need you, you are there. I've never known anyone as dependable as you. As I grow into your likeness, let faithfulness become an innermost trait. Ooh, faithfulness. Thank you, God. Become an innate trait. As I depend on you, may I be an example of your steady love in my relationship with others. Let me not take for granted your ever-present help. Just living life to please myself. I am blessed to know you, God. I ask for a fresh revelation of the power of your presence that turns mourning into dancing, oh Lord, and water into wine. You always make things better. Can you stay with me? Thank you, Lord. You always make things better. I want to be like you, Lord, that I would bring you your peace into chaotic situations and your love innately inducing. May your constant presence change me into the best version of myself that I may live a life of faithful love right where you are, right where you have planted me. God has planted us in his vineyard. Are you growing or are you stagnant? We got to ask God to guide us, to lead us, to help us be the best we can be. Whew, what a word this morning. I'm thankful, y'all. I'm thankful. And this is a word to think about today as you go through your day. And the word is simply this: would your friends and family describe you as being dependable? That's something to think about. Are you dependable? Or are you deceitful? Check yourself and watch God work in you. If you're deceitful, he will pull you into the fold where you need to go because of God. 99.3. So whatever is going on in your life, know that God's got you covered. And thank him every day. So as we pray out, Father God, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray this all. Amen. Amen, amen. Family, it's a wrap because this girl's got to go to work. So I love you all. Be blessed and know that you are special to God and he loves you more than anything. Have a great and wonderful day and be dependable and know that God has a plan for your life. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. I know there were some pauses in there. Understand I have been having some issues. Whew. But God is in charge and all the word went forth. So thank God today for this magnificent word. Thank God for our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. I thank God for the mother of this vlog. Mother Rita, I love you, love you, love you. Evangelist, I love you. All of you, I love you. And thank God for you. Continue joining us as we move forward in the word of God. It is important. And one day it may save your life. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap because I got to go to work. Have a great day.